Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
My wife is in studio. It's the 2 o'clock hour. I noticed this started off with you coming in at 2:30 every day. First of all, it was just one day. Come in at 2:30. Then you came back the next day. Now you're coming in at 2 o'clock. Next week, what, 1:30?
Am I intruding?
No. No, you're not intruding. Hey, by the way, did you see my Instagram post?
No. Wait, which one?
Yesterday. Last night, I put a post up. It's given me a lot of cred.
Yeah, that was nice.
Did you see
it? Yeah, I liked it.
Because a lot of times people will put a post out there when it's someone's birthday. Mm-hmm. And you can see my Instagram. At John Canzano. But they'll say it's her birthday, and they do the post, which
right.
I think is great.
Yeah.
Should do that.
Yeah.
Or your anniversary. I had the thought yesterday, and I think a lot of people probably think this way. I had the thought yesterday before the show. I said, you know what? I'm just going to post a picture that I like of us, and I'm going to declare for the world how much I appreciate you. Okay?
That's really nice of you.
Then I got really busy, and I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the show, I decided to post this picture that I like. It's us on the beach. We're kind of looking out at the sunset, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister, my youngest sister, texted me this morning, which I did not expect.
Asking for photo credit?
No. No. She texted me. Let me just read the text. If I can find it. She said, I loved your post about Anna. That is how a man should treat a woman.
Aww.
From my sister, who's single. By the way, so I put that out there. We both put pictures of our kids on social media.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about this publicly, but how comfortable are you putting photos of like our kids on social media, knowing that they're not really deciding to do it?
I think I'm okay with it because I think that we use good judgment and the types of photos that we put out of them. I don't think that, you know, we're putting anything out that will embarrass them too much someday. I think most of what we put out there is pretty positive in general. At least I try to stay positive.
I wonder how it'll affect, you know, like when I grew up, there's no photos that my mom didn't have an Instagram account where she put pictures of me as a kid.
Yeah.
She had hard copy photos,
right.
Which every once in a while, she'll take a picture of one and text it to me, like this grainy photo that she took. I wonder if people will even keep photos because they'll be like, just look at my mom's Instagram.
We don't print them out anymore. That's the thing. You have like thousands and thousands of photos. You being like big, ambiguous you, all of us, have like thousands of photos that we've, you know, taken on our phones. Maybe you've uploaded them somewhere to keep them safe, but when was the last time you actually printed a whole bunch of photos?
Nope.
Yeah.
But I also
for
looking,
special occasions.
When I go to my main photo album on my device right now,
yeah.
I have 12,978 photos. How many photos do you have?
I don't even want to tell you.
Alabama Adriana, how many photos are on your phone? Judah Newby, how many photos?
It's embarrassing. I mean, I'm a digital hoarder though.
I'm 12,978. What do you got? What are your numbers?
I'm at 58,000.
58,000.
I'm at 77,397.
Oh, four digits. 7,000.
58,000. What is going on with this?
Well, you bought me a really nice phone with a lot of memory. So I just go fill it all up.
Wow. Are you just taking pictures of, like, do you take like 30 photos, just hold your finger on the button or what?
I don't know what's wrong with me. I mean, it's how like that Jerry Seinfeld stand-up routine, you know? You got to take a picture of it. Oh, look at that sunset. You got to take a picture.
Take a picture. We were driving the other day. I'm driving the car. You saw a rainbow, okay? You were like, oh, look at the rainbow. It was raining. You roll the window down. You hold your phone out. You have to get a picture. What's What's wrong with being at the concert and just watching and listening?
I know. I need to be better about that. I'm not the worst, but I think there's room for improvement. Like, I spent, you know, I think we treated ourselves a million years ago to U2 up in Seattle.
Yeah, you bought it for me for as a gift.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, because we were, like, you've taken me some cool concerts.
I have, yeah. Some of which you haven't appreciated. But, so we go up to U2. Where was it? The football field?
Seattle. That little football stadium they have in Seattle,
yeah,
for the Seahawks.
That little thing. And we decided to buy, like, the commemorative photo that you can get. So
suckers.
They were scanning. Yeah, we were suckers. They were scanning the crowd with some super special camera. And based on the type of ticket you bought or whatever, they could send you, like, this framed, beautiful, commemorative thing of the concert and of you actually at the concert. So we invested in that. The thing arrives. We're so excited. We unpackage it. And the photo is of you,
yep,
looking up at the stage, enjoying Bono in all his glory.
Yep.
And me looking at my phone.
That's right.
It's just, oh, man.
For $49.95, we got a photograph of you looking at your phone.
Which is apparently how I spent most of the concert, just taking video and pictures.
What is that about, though?
I don't know.
But I swing on this spectrum from one end of the to the other end, because I realized a couple years ago I was at, like, 9 Super Bowls and all these great events and the Final Four and all this stuff, and I don't take photos. I just sort of observe it and I take it in and I hold that memory right between my ears. And maybe it's my age that makes me do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I said 2 years ago, I said, I have to start taking pictures. I'm at all these cool events, take a picture.
Yeah.
So now I force myself to take a picture. I put it on the Instagram page and I try to take pictures of things that nobody will see. Like, before the arena opens, here's a picture of Steph Curry stretching out. Here's, you know,
you of all people should be taking those photos, because you have access. Like, you get to show people things that they can't see and go places they can't go.
I got, you know, a picture of Damian Lillard on the day. It was the game that he hit the 37-foot shot that beat the Thunder. Before the game, I was out on the court. He was sitting alone,
mm-hmm,
and he was sitting all by himself with his arms folded very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I snapped a picture of him from across the court. It's just awesome. Looks like he's solitary, alone in the building. I had no idea later that night he'd hit the shot, right?
Yeah.
But I post that on Instagram. That's great. But I also feel like I'm one of these people, if I'm at a concert or something,
mm-hmm,
I just want to enjoy the concert. Remember we were at, what's that guy? Elton John. Elton John.
Yeah.
Took you to see Elton John because you wanted to see him before he ascends to heaven or wherever he's going.
He's getting up there.
And this lady in front of us was holding her phone up, FaceTiming with somebody.
Oh, yeah, that was obnoxious.
FaceTiming. So the whole concert, I'm looking at this and I'm watching the person as she's FaceTiming. Dude's eating cereal while he's watching Elton John in the kitchen. And I can see, I couldn't see Elton John. I could see the dude eating cereal.
Uh-huh.
Whole concert.
Uh-huh. First of all, cereal at like 9 o'clock at night.
Judging people now.
No, just making the observation.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. I've done it. That's a whole nother level of trying to, like, take that person there digitally, but sort of diminish the experience for everyone standing around you.
You can't FaceTime with someone when you're at a concert. You should not, you know, because, and that poor lady, she's holding up this guy. He's in a bathrobe eating cereal at his house, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, he has no idea that all these people are watching him because she's just holding up the phone.
We also don't know the story, though. Maybe he had tickets to go and, like, he fell ill with some kind of autoimmunity.
Now you're
going to
make me feel bad.
I'm just saying, we don't know. You never know, right? Somebody's story.
Maybe
they have a really solid reason for doing that.
But see, that's why this relationship works. You fill in all the blanks with positive things, and I fill in all the blanks going, look at that degenerate eating cereal at 9 o'clock at night in his bathrobe. Now you have him that he is a cancer patient. Now I'm going to hell for this. What do you think of Alabama Adriana's graduation thing? But by the way, have you seen, for people who have gone to AdrianaRocks.com, her graduation website. First of all these great pictures of her.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate. This is the last day we're going to celebrate this.
I know. Well, kind of. We'll also celebrate when she gets that full-time job.
Yeah, but this is our celebration. It's a virtual celebration. Okay, and then people can send her a note, and then people can also buy her a drink. And by the way,
What's she up to?
$1,782 in drinks. The goal was $2,500, so we're short of the goal right now.
Oh, we got to get there.
So if you want to go online and buy her a drink, we're trying to get her to $2,500 as a graduation gift. We're at $1,782. I like that. Somebody added a two at the end of there. But Adriana, you're getting a lot of feedback from people as well on the website?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of really sweet notes. I actually got three pieces of mail, actual mail,
wow,
to the studio today. And that was amazing. I'm going to send out some thank you notes. But everything has just been so great. Everybody has been so sweet. There have been people calling in thinking that it's my last day.
Not your last day.
So it's not my last day, but I do still appreciate everything that everything everybody is saying.
And here's the other thing. Like, I've had people too say, "Oh, why aren't you keeping her around?" Look, I want to keep you around. I would love to keep you around. I'd love to have some employer come in and say, "Look, it'd be great for our business to have Adriana on the air between 12 and 3." But the other thing I do is I'm just not in the business of holding people back. And I feel like you're going to go off, you're smart, you're educated, you've got ambition, you have those things that successful people have, and I don't want you to be anchored down by being the producer of this radio show. I have bigger dreams for you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because I know that I am lucky in that regard, and I know that I'm lucky to always have a spot here, and I feel very welcome, and again, I feel lucky for that. But I think also it's I'm looking for more of a full-time position, and the show is only 3 hours of the day.
Yeah.
There's only so much prep you can do, you know? So I think, yeah, it is better for me to be looking for something a little bit more full-time.
I got a note from somebody who said that the thing that you should be doing, if I could just pass along advice third hand, is that you should have some kind of side hustle where it would benefit you to be on air for 3 hours. Like, for example, if you had a business that you had launched, then you could talk about your business on air. So, I mean, I'm getting all these. I love that people are thinking about your future and your ideas. Nobody's kicking Adriana off the show. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah. No, it's been really cool to hear everybody's ideas, and their advice has all been really great.
I wonder, too, in this economy, I know you're saying that you want a full-time gig, but I wonder, too, in this economy, if it makes sense to string together a couple part-time gigs that are sort of work from home, writing, communication type positions, you know, like I would want to know what the listeners think about that too. Like in this day and age, in the midst of a global pandemic, is it more realistic to try and, you know, work part-time at a number of different places or, you know, shoot real hard for the full-time gig somewhere? I don't know.
In my opinion, I know with the economy as it is, I can't really be too choosy and picky about it, but I feel like I've been doing the multiple side hustles at one time plus going to school for so long now that I'm just ready for something else that's a little bit more. I can put all of my energy into this one thing because I have been splitting my attention like that for so long now that it's pretty exhausting, and not saying that a full-time job wouldn't be the same, but I would like to at least focus and like hone in on one thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, there you go. We'll hone in on one thing coming up next. It's going to have to do with fast food restaurants, and I'm not asking you if you're going to park nose in or back in at a fast food restaurant. I've had enough of that abuse on social media today and emails that I'm getting from people saying, giving me diagrams of the stadium and why it is better to back in when you're at a stadium. You're not going to change me, okay? But we're going to talk about your favorite fast food restaurant. America's favorite food chains have been announced. I think they got the state of Oregon wrong. I'll tell you what I mean by that coming up. Somebody put one of these interactive maps out in which they declared the most popular fast food chain restaurant state by state. Alabama, Adriana, the state of Alabama is a Chick-fil-A state. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I buy that.
State of Oregon. Guys, state of Oregon was called an In-N-Out burger state.
Really?
That's so
with our two locations?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
They don't get us. California was Denny's.
Denny's is not fast food.
They call it fast food.
If you have to sit down to eat it.
What should Oregon be? Burgerville?
Burgerville.
Burgerville.
Come on.
100%.
Hazelnut milkshake?
Wendy's.
Can you get a burger at Wendy's anymore? It's too fresh. Burgerville,
it's good,
man.
It's all right. I've not been to Burgerville in a long time.
Oh, you need to go.
Stop what you're doing right now. Go to Burgerville. I'll go watch Too Fast or Furious. We'll be leaving at the end of this. That'll all be done. Anna and I yesterday.
Do you back it in when you go through a drive-thru?
No. Judah does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
then
yeah.
You'll need a passenger.
Hypothetically. Window. Are you a drive-thru restaurant person? Judah Newby, you don't strike me as a guy who's eating a meal as you're going through the drive-thru, got a burger in one hand, driving the car with the other. You don't strike me that way.
Yeah, that's not my default, but just like everybody else, I go through bad habits, you know, and, you know, there'll be a week I'll go a couple times and then I'll be sitting in my car and I'm like, man, what's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing it? I got to stop.
Yeah, you shouldn't make a habit out of that. And there's also some foods that just aren't, they aren't compatible with driving, you know?
Like Vietnamese noodle soup?
Yeah. My wife did that to me.
We did that on a date recently. We got it to go. And then we're like, how in the world are we going to eat this? It's like in two different containers.
You had to go buy bulk. We had to go to another store. We had to go to like a Walgreens and buy bowls. And then it just wasn't a good idea.
No.
And by the way, we have tried, like, for people out there that were surprised at the date night comment, we have tried to maintain a date night.
Yes.
Because we're busy, we have kids, and my sister loves being around the kids. We say, hey, you mind watching them for a couple hours? We try to go on a date night. So it's been really hard amid a pandemic to find something to do. I feel like I'm like 16 or 17 again, and all we do is drive around. Let's drive around.
let's find a makeout spot.
On this date night.
One day
we just drove and we pulled over and we kind of looked at the Willamette River for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, and yesterday we were out and we were running errands and we did something for the first time we haven't done since the start of the pandemic is we're walking by a restaurant that happened to be open and they had outdoor seating that was well spaced out. We had our masks with us. And I kind of talked you into sitting down. You were not totally comfortable with sitting down at an outdoor restaurant mm-hmm. and trying to have like a relaxing, can we have something to eat here experience?
Yeah. I think last week we drove by a few restaurants where people were sitting outside eating. Right? Look at them. Look at all those people. Look at them.
They don't get it.
And then a week later, we're like, huh, maybe we should try to sit down and eat somewhere outside. But it felt, you know what? It was early. It was like an early dinner. Again, there was like literally one other patron of the restaurant sitting, and I got to choose the
table.
How
far away was the patron from us?
She was like 25 feet away from us. Right. I chose like the furthest, you know.
We were in the parking lot pretty much.
Table. Yeah, almost the parking lot. And it was surreal. It was really nice. It felt good to be supporting their business.
I didn't relax, though.
No.
I was not relaxed because the whole time I didn't know what to do. I didn't know the protocol because the server came to the table. He had a mask on. He put the menus down on the table. I never touched the menu. I don't know if you noticed that. You didn't either, I don't think.
No, I didn't.
I looked kind of sideways at the menu, and then I had a mask. I didn't know, do I need to put the mask on or do I keep it on until... And then he offered water, and I was like, should I get a glass of water? Like, I don't know. And what I found out was there is a restaurant in Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
That has printed a 17-page sort of protocol for all restaurants that was a restaurant chain that people in the U.S. are now taking that 17 pages and they're translating it. It's gone all over the world, and they have a whole bunch of guidelines for the restaurants themselves as they try to reopen. And the guidelines are as simple as, you know, they take people's temperature. And when you go in, they give you a bag. It's a face mask bag. That's a great idea. Mm. It's like a doggy bag. You put your face mask in.
Oh,
and
okay.
They tell the customers you keep your face mask on until the food arrives.
Oh, but I wonder if those same rules apply if you're sitting outside. Like, nobody took our temperature, but I think maybe because we were sitting outside. Maybe if we had to go inside, they would have taken our
temperature.
Frankly,
I think the restaurant was happy to see us.
Yeah.
Feel like, and here's the other thing. I know people who own restaurants. I want them to be successful.
I know.
And so I feel like a week ago I was going, hey, it's okay to order to go. What are these people doing? They're jumping the gun. But we were also like, I was rolling down the window to yell at people, be like, hey, what are you thinking? Now I'm going, okay, maybe I've relaxed a little bit, but if you're outside, spaced at a place that's carefully following protocol and has their employees with masks on, and he had gloves on too.
Yeah.
Is it okay? How confident would you be, Alabama Adriana, Judah, how confident would you be right now going out to eat at a restaurant?
Well, I've been to two protests in the last week, and though I was happy to be there, I did have moments of pretty huge anxiety being there, but I was spaced out. So I think I would be okay in a restaurant situation like that outdoors after going to the protests and being that close but also spaced out from that many people. I think I have kind of moved past the whole restaurant thing outside.
Judah.
Yeah, I'd be fine with being in a restaurant like one-on-one with somebody. But it's funny you bring that up. Even in real time, I've got happy hour plans with a buddy later tonight, and we just decided, we said, hey, let's just do this virtually, you know? And he lives in Multnomah County as part of it, and I'm in Washington County, but we're just like, you know what? You know, we don't have to meet in person. Let's FaceTime. Let's have a drink virtually. Let's leave it at that. That's good.
Appreciate that. Charlie is in Vancouver. Has called in. Charlie, what's up, man?
Hey, John. Great show again, and I love how you've morphed to the 2 o'clock hour, the whole 2 o'clock hour, Anna. Together, I know you guys probably aren't old enough to remember this, but there was a time when all of America would watch Sonny and Cher talk for 5 or 10 minutes at the end of each show. And
I got you.
I kid you not, it was the best 5 or 10 minutes in the world, and you guys are you are that. You will be national quickly. I can see it now.
Oh, man. You're going to blow our heads up. You just compared me to Cher? That's incredible.
If I could turn back time.
That's a banter. Hey, John.
Yes.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
First of all, Adriana, congratulations. Woo! And Bald Face Truth fan group, I want to challenge you. Send her a dollar. My goodness, you made a goal of $5,000. And if we got 60,000 listeners, I think it's close to $2,000 right now. If one-tenth would send a dollar, it'd blow that thing up, and she could just celebrate, and I think we'd feel so good as a community of what each one of us could do if we just did a little tiny bit.
All right, send her a buck, says Charlie in Vancouver. You can do that at AdrianaRocks.com. I had somebody yesterday who said to me, because Adriana had talked rather candidly about the student loans that she owes, and I hope you're okay with me saying this again, but she had, you know, thrown out the number $40,000 in student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a reality that a lot of college students are facing as education was defunded by the state. That emphasis, the colleges didn't say, oh, we're just going to pass along, we're not going to charge you anything more. No, they escalated the price of tuition magnificently in the last 15 to 20 years. And students today who are leaving college are leaving with $100,000, $75,000 of student loan debt.
That's not a small amount. That's a lot to crawl back from. I mean, granted, the interest rate is low, but...
Yeah, and they're offering some deferrals and other things that are, you know, some programs that are going on, but I still think it's like, it's not how you're supposed to start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, interest rate like, low.
And we go with our kids all the time. It's one of my primary focuses that I focus on all the time. We have 529 plans for the kids, and I try to put what we can put into those 529 plans. And the whole thing I keep thinking about is I just don't want them to leave college with, you know, especially our young ones now, what is college going to cost?
I don't know.
What is that? Like, that's a moving target. I wish somebody would tell me. I wish the colleges would make a guarantee and go, hey, if your kid is born in state, Here's our guarantee. Tuition will not exceed $100,000. Give me a number that you will not exceed so that, I, you know what I mean? Like, what is it going to cost for our now four-year-old to go to college in 14 years?
I think there's a 529 plan where you can actually lock in the price right now of what the projected college costs will be.
Projected? And, yeah. I see the calculators, they project it, but yeah, nobody would have projected.
Yeah, there are some schools right now that won't even tell you how much you'll be paying by the time you're done with your degree.
That's
it's
insane.
Changing so much from year to year. So,
can you imagine a restaurant that did that? Come on in. Sit down. Table of four.
By the time you leave, the
right
menu
now,
prices may go up.
Yeah.
75%.
Right. But hey, sorry, that was $600 for this meal. Enjoy that milkshake.
I think there's going to be a correction here. I mean, I think the colleges are struggling right now. They're trying to figure out how to fill their classes. And so maybe this is going to be the turning point for all of the crazy tuition inflation that has occurred.
I hope so. AdrianaRocks.com if you want to send her a buck, a high five, give her some life advice. You can celebrate the virtual graduation party. She's not going anywhere. She's still going to be part of this radio show, but let's celebrate her today. Leave it here. You got the bald face truth. One of the big news stories of the day, LA Galaxy have released Alexander Katai after tweets from his wife. That has got a lot of tentacles to it, but his wife made some social media posts that are racist. The Galaxy has released him. Serbian national team player was signed as the Galaxy as a free agent in December. He has been released from the Galaxy, and this is a player that was worth significantly more than the $612,000 allowed under MLS rules. The team reached an agreement. They bought out the remainder of his contract. The team said it was very professional. It was not tense at all. I don't buy that. But apparently, Tia Katai was in Chicago when she made posts while her husband was in Southern California. They were offensive comments. I have not seen them. Has anybody seen these posts? Judah Newby, do you know what she posted exactly?
I haven't seen the posts themselves other than what was written in the story, which was something about killing protesters and other things like that. So that's what I know was in them.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like, I can't imagine the conversation that Alexander Katai is having to have with, like, is this going to be a surprise to him? Like, you know what I mean? This is terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Depends on how well he knows his mom, I suppose.
Good on the Galaxy for cutting him loose.
Yeah.
But his wife posted.
Oh, his wife.
On social media. Not his mom. His wife. But let's say it was his mom. Should they have released him if it was his mom? Like, how far?
Yeah, how far does that go
out? How far does the circle of you're the Galaxy, Alexander Katai, am I saying his name right? Judah?
Yeah, that'll work.
Close.
Yeah, he's a new player. I'm not too familiar with him other than Russian national team, but Alexander Katai is what I'm going with.
All right, it's his wife. I do think the Galaxy, it's his spouse.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to know her heart.
Mm-hmm.
He has to know what she's posting. Galaxy's got to cut bait and say, we can't have you on our team. This is not what we're about. Let's say it's his mom. Let's say it's his cousin. It's his neighbor. Mm-hmm. Like, how far outside the circle does that go for you?
I even have a hard time with it being his wife, I suppose, because she's not technically on the team.
Right.
You know, like, I guess she's married to him. She's part of the brand, though. Right. So that's the problem. I don't know.
If you're the Galaxy, I think this is an easy decision.
Yeah.
It's his wife. That's close enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep thinking, okay, what if it's their kid? What if it's like, how far outside of the, where's the bullseye there if you're the Galaxy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is it for you, Alabama Adriana? His wife? He's gone. Let's say it's his cousin. It's his mom. It's a stepmother. I think we start getting further away from him And then all of a sudden, if you're the Galaxy, you start to go, okay, how much control does this individual have, or how much is this really about him and his brand and what the belief system that we want to be attached to? Mm-hmm.
To me, I feel like your spouse is somebody that you choose. You don't choose your mom. You choose who you spend your life with. And if you don't know them enough to know that that's how they feel in their deepest and truest of hearts enough to post it out into the world, that's kind of a reflection on you. You are who you surround yourself with.
I like that that's his choice. He chose to marry her. That's the association directly. Because I think we have had cases in the past. It wasn't a case of it being racist, but we've had cases in the past where athletes have had parents who are extremely invasive and extremely vocal and distracting to organizations. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'll range it from, you know, Michelle Wie had her dad carrying her bag in golf. He didn't say anything racist, but he was sort of invasive in the process. LeVar Ball, we've seen that with him being a distraction with his kids. And I think certainly Todd Marinovich's dad was a distraction and just loud and sort of, and Rick Barry has been that way with his kids. But I think most times organizations look and go, can the kid play? Are we okay with the kids' value system? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think when you get to parent, I do think there is, we all sort of go, okay, that's their parent, and we draw a little bit of separation.
Well, and how many families right now have like a spectrum of opinion within their extended family on anything from politics to what's happening with a protest to, you know, how coronavirus was handled?
And I also think when you invite, this isn't like his wife having a disagreement on religion. Mm-hmm. This is race.
Yeah.
This is like a human rights issue. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna, I didn't see the tweets. I didn't see the social media posts. But from what I understand, you know, if she was advocating for protesters to be run down, come on, how out of touch do you have to be?
Yeah.
I'm not saying just out of touch with what's acceptable, just out of touch with humanity.
Yeah.
Do you have to be? On that front.
It's an interesting time right now, isn't it? Everything's under a magnifying glass.
Does this keep this guy, he's 29 years old, you know, before joining the Galaxy, he played 2 years with the Chicago Fire, and then he's coming to the Galaxy, so they cut ties with him. Does this necessarily need to impede him from playing in MLS this year or ever again? Like, what's the threshold of acceptable quote-unquote punishment, or is punishment in the public sphere enough? Like, if someone else signed him next week, how much flack do they get?
I think that he is a lightning rod right now. I think that I had the same first thought. I thought, gosh, I wonder if the Timbers or somebody else is going to go pick this guy up because he can really play. And he's a guy who made $2.6 million with Chicago in the last 2 years. So his wife's beliefs and her desire to express them on social media probably cost them several million dollars. I think he's got to go back to Europe. I don't think that any team in the United States right now should take him. And I think there has, and it also depends on what does he have to say? Like, I haven't heard him come out. Has he apologized? Has he said, you know, this is her, this is not me? I don't know what he's had to say. And yeah. I can imagine that conversation between he and her ain't a good one right now.
He did say that his wife's posts were unacceptable and they would not be tolerated by his family. And he was sorry for the pain caused to the Galaxy family and all the allies in the fight against racism. So, I mean, he seemed to take some good ownership for it. And yeah, those must be some interesting conversations within his own family, man.
It's always bothered me when sports franchises take an athlete just because they can play. We have seen cases like this where violence against women is tolerated, other criminal activities are tolerated. I finally think that we're at a place where sports organizations, and maybe it's for the wrong reason, maybe because they think there's going to be a huge PR backlash. Mm-hmm. I think we're at the place where stuff like this is going to matter more than what they can do on the field. And I actually think that's a good correction.
Yeah, you've seen it more than just about anybody. People who have been taken on just because of their athletic ability, and it's like the organization kind of looks past everything else. But I think people are so vocal right now that any team in America that chose to take him on would face a lot of dissenting opinion.
It matters more to me, though, that if the organization in its heart, like, what really matters to me, did the Galaxy see her posts and go, we can't have this because it's not what we believe in, and then they sort of buy out his contract? Or does their phone start ringing from sponsors who are going, hey, we can't have this guy on the team, and the Galaxy go, hey, if we keep him on the team, we're going to lose all these sponsorship dollars. This is a business decision. It matters to me. Like, I really hope that the Galaxy's decision was rooted in human rights, decency, and we don't want anything resembling racism anywhere near our organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you. The cynical side of me says, you know, that they're it was a business decision, but yes, it's nice of you to hope for the altruistic reason behind it.
If it was a more star player, like, would they release him, you know? And that's obviously an impossible question to answer, you know, and it's hypothetical. But to your point, Anna, about being a bit cynical here, while I applaud the move to release him, what if it was their best player, you know? Katai's not their best player. What if it was the face of their franchise? His wife, you know, did something like this. Would they release him? I would think I'd be shocked if they did. I'd put it that way.
We've all seen it on so many cases. And, you know, and again, it came up the other day with Jonathan Smith, who I thought did the right thing in getting rid of a freshman tight end on his team who had a horrific racist rant or audio recording, whatever he says it is, that went public. I think Jonathan Smith did the right thing. But I also think that was a pretty easy call because the kid was not a contributor, and I hope he would have done the same thing if it was a star player. But we all kind of know a little different.
It's an interesting lesson in free speech right now. Like, we live in a country where we champion free speech and, you know, the freedom of religion and all these freedoms. But just because you have the freedom to say certain things doesn't mean that you don't face potential consequences for the things that you choose to say and express, especially, you know, in a public sense on social media.
And I think, you know, I also think that we are a society that wants comeback stories. We want to forgive. We want to forgive people. I think it's a really tricky time with that right now because I'm frustrated and angry. I know a lot of people are frustrated and angry. And I think there are a lot of people that are just not in a position right now where we want to accept even an apology. Like, you know, it's almost like I don't pay that much attention to the apology anymore. I don't know if that's bad or good. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. GoldenOakLending.com. That's the website. Golden Oak Lending, they can help you cure your mortgage blues with their free mortgage checkup. It's no risk. Take a look at your mortgage. They can tell you if they can do better, get you a better rate, help you cash out. They can shorten the term of your loan. It's a great time to take advantage of low interest rates. Use their secure portal at GoldenOakLending.com if you want to take advantage of that. That free mortgage checkup, they will not take a credit card from you. They're not going to charge you for an appraisal unless they can close the loan. GoldenOakLending.com. That's the website. Take advantage of that. My wife is in studio, as she is every day in the 2 o'clock hour. We have just a little around 8 or 9 minutes left in this radio show. You have your phone up. What are you doing with that? Why are you pointing your phone at me?
We're going to do like a speed dating round.
Speed dating?
Yeah.
Okay.
You do this with me. You ask me all these questions.
Am I dating someone else during this segment?
No, we're going to pretend to be speed dating. Oh. Like, it's our first date.
Oh, you and I?
I don't know. You're asking
too many
questions.
All right. I'm used to being in control of this show, and suddenly I'm not. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, this is fun. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I'd want to be invisible. I'd love to be invisible and just kind of meander around. Kind of checking things out.
It's kind of creepy.
Not that way.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, it would be nice to, you know, have that cloak of invisibility.
Okay, moving on. What's your favorite book?
The Old Man and the Sea.
Really?
Easily.
Favorite movie?
What popped into my head was Shawshank Redemption and Good Will Hunting, but I feel like My favorite movie as a kid was Rocky. I remember coming out of the movie theater and shadow boxing. I love the Star Wars original three. I don't like what they did with the Star Wars series. I'm over it now. I also was thinking about this yesterday or 2 days ago when I was talking about Jackie Robinson. Remember when we went to see 42 in person?
Good.
Loved that movie.
Yeah, it's great.
All right.
We should rewatch it. Are you a superstitious person? And what about if you are?
I'm funny with superstition because I will follow superstition in that I grew up around baseball and baseball is full of superstitions like jumping over the foul line or doing certain rituals. I don't actually believe that any of that superstition helps you, but I'll participate because I have the time on my hands and I'll go through the superstitions because, well, what if it does help you?
Covering your bases.
Cover my bases.
When were you the most nervous ever, like in your life?
Man, I still get nervous if I have to go talk to like a kid's high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about that age.
Oh, they're a hard audience. So judgy.
They're looking at you. They're looking at your clothes. Mm-hmm. They're looking at the shape of your face and your head. And they're looking at you. And there's just something. I could get up in front of like a couple thousand people and talk. I have no problem with that. But you put me in front of like 25 high school students. Little nervous.
Do you have any nicknames and how did they come about?
Just growing up, John, it invites nicknames because there were always three Johns in every elementary school. There was John A, there was John S, and then there was John C, and that was me. And John C became JC pretty quickly, like third, fourth grade. And that stuck with me forever. And so people to this day will still say JC.
Do you sing in the shower? And if so, what song?
I do sing in the shower. It just depends what's on my mind. It's funny how we are creatures of habit. You know what I've noticed about the shower and my shower habits? When I dry myself off after the shower, I think I do the same sort of pattern of drying. Like I'm like a car wash. You know, you go through the car wash and they have like the certain machine that does, you know, the thing that goes in a circle and then the air blower is the last thing or whatever. I'm not saying I have an air blower that blows me dry. But what I notice is I'll do like the left side of my body, then the right side of my body. I think I have to pay closer attention to it, but I think subconsciously I repeat the same pattern.
I think we all do. And I know what song you sing, but I'm going to hold that over you for blackmail purposes. Shania Twain. It's the weirdest thing.
I do not sing Shania Twain.
Who sings that song?
I have no idea.
Get through the night without you? Who is that?
Leanne Rimes.
Whatever. I'm bright red.
First time you
I want to change my answer now to them.
First time I ever heard that, I was like, what? What is he singing?
Something about the water. Go ahead. Moving along.
What is your spirit animal?
My favorite animal growing up? This is not my spirit animal. I'm taking off my shirt now. You know why that song pops into my head?
It's like on repeat for him. I don't really understand.
I can't get out of my head.
Yeah.
It's exactly how I sound, too.
It is. Yeah, listen to that falsetto. What kind of life would that be?
I'm embarrassed now.
My next question, when were you the most embarrassed ever in your life?
Right now. In this moment. Can you hand me that bar of soap?
Your favorite animal you were going to say when you were a kid.
When I was a kid growing up, I had the weirdest favorite animal. I liked raccoons. I don't know what
that
was
about. But you also wanted a chimpanzee at one point.
One point. But that was like, you know, when you're like eight. And it looks like it's a cool, like that would be a cool thing to have.
Yeah, until it bites your face off.
Right. I used to like raccoons because as an adult, you find out that they're just scavengers and they're filthy little varmints.
Yeah. What food best describes your personality?
Carne asada burrito.
Really?
I would think so.
Really?
Maybe I'm just hungry for a carne asada
burrito. What
about
that describes your personality?
I just think I'm a blend of different things. Like, here's the thing about a carne asada burrito. I don't necessarily think that any one of the ingredients of a carne asada burrito by itself is great, but when you put them all together.
Yeah. I like the lard, personally. That's my favorite ingredient.
Okay.
What's your worst habit?
I probably leave my shoes everywhere. I just take them off wherever it may be.
That's true.
I leave them there.
Yeah. Do you have any phobias?
Nah, not really.
Just your daily mention of your impending death.
That's not a phobia. I am not going to be surprised when that day comes for me. And I'm at peace with it. I'm not afraid to die. Let's get that clear.
Yes.
I'm not afraid of heights. I'm not claustrophobic. I don't think I have, maybe water. Maybe, like, I don't, like, because when I was young, I had two friends who drowned, and it makes me nervous mm-hmm. when our kids are around water, but I want them to be comfortable in water, so it's a weird sort of, you know, dichotomy there, where, like, I want them to be okay being in water, but I am nervous as heck when they're in the water.
Okay, last question. What sound do you love?
That one. No. When you said that, I thought of train whistles.
What? Really?
Yeah, because when I was in college, we had this house that was right by the train tracks.
Yeah.
I wasn't living in some nice area of town, okay?
Glorious.
I was right by the train tracks. The train would come right by the house. And I know that when we had people over, the train would come by a couple times a night. You know, it's coming by. Like, it's not a quiet thing. The house is shaking. Thank you. I didn't even hear it. I got so used to it.
Yeah.
People would be like, didn't that drive you crazy? I'm like, what drive me crazy? Oh, the train?
Oh, I don't even hear it anymore.
I think that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Good job.
There you have it.
Lightning round.
Wow. That was really embarrassing. All right. Leave it here. Get a podcast. The Bald Faced Truth, not here for a long time. Just a good time. Adriana Rockstock.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.